three federal contractors lose an appeal with the U.S. Court of Appeals. The D.C. Circuit upholds a statute banning any one person who enters a federal contract from contributing to a political campaign or party from the time negotiations start to the end of the contract. Contractors argue the decision violates First Amendment and equal protection rights. Nick Townsend is counsel for Arnold & Porter's National Security and Public Policy Practices and says the decision leaves a few too many unanswered questions for federal contractors. Nick, thanks for coming on the program today. Let's step back a moment and review the facts of the case in more detail. Thanks for being on the program today.
Good afternoon. This was an interesting case. Wagner was brought by a law professor and two USAID workers who held federal contracts. They were challenging the ban on contributions by government contractors based on two theories. One, that it was a violation of free speech under the First Amendment, and second, that it was a violation of equal protection under the Fifth Amendment. So basically, these are individuals who want to make campaign contributions during the 2012 federal elections. The law that they were challenging is the Federal Election Campaign Act, and it prohibits federal contractors from directly or indirectly making contributions to candidates, political parties, or PACs during the negotiation through the completion of performance of a federal contract. So the FEC ended up winning this case. And one notable thing is that the D.C. Circuit actually decided this unanimously en banc. So the D.C. Circuit ruled that the federal contractor ban is constitutional. And they determined this because the ban is closely drawn to support a sufficiently important government interest. And the interest here is twofold. One, in protecting against quid pro quo corruption or the appearance of such corruption, and two, in preventing interference with merit-based public administration of contracts. And they cited here recent corruption cases such as Randy Duke Cunningham, who pled guilty to accepting millions of dollars in bribes in connection with influencing DOD contracts. And they also pointed to Representative Bob Ney's guilty plea in connection with Jack Abramoff some years ago. And they drew the conclusion from these cases that, in fact, human nature hasn't, in fact, changed since the 1940s when this ban was originally put in place. And if anything, the court cited the fact that there's actually been an enormous increase in the government's reliance on contractors since the time when this statute was originally put into place, which may make the ban even more important. So, as you mentioned at the outset, there are a number of open questions that remain despite this interesting decision earlier this month. And part of that is because this was a very narrow decision. And it was narrow for two reasons. One, the plaintiffs only challenged the law as it applies to individuals. So these were one law professor and two retired USAID workers. They didn't challenge it as to the ability of corporations who hold government contracts to make contributions or non-corporate entities such as partnerships to bring those, sort of make those contributions. The second reason this is a narrow decision is that they only challenged the ban with respect to making contributions to candidates and parties. So this is actually probably the more important of the two things that make this such a narrow case. They didn't challenge it as the FEC might seek to apply the ban to independent expenditures or contributions to super PACs. And that's very interesting because the standard of review would be different potentially. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with a traditional versus a super PAC, but a super PAC is one of these newer types of campaign finance entities that is unique in that it only makes independent expenditures, which means that the super PAC doesn't coordinate with the candidate. And this allows them to take in unlimited amounts of money, but there are limits on how they can spend that money because they have to only be independent expenditures. And essentially, the standard of review to restrict those type of independent expenditures under the Supreme Court's 2014 McCutcheon decision would have been a strict scrutiny standard of review. However, in this case, Wagner, the D.C. Circuit refused to apply the higher strict scrutiny standard. Instead, they applied a standard that is still high, but all it requires is closely drawn interest versus the strict scrutiny standard, which would require the restrictions on independent expenditures to be compelling, a compelling government interest that is the least restrictive means to further the government's purpose. Now, the court unanimously decided this case, and they hinted that maybe they would find prevention of quid pro quo corruption to be compelling, but it was a very narrow decision. It was only a decision about individuals, and it was only a decision about contributions to actual candidates, not about contributions to super PACs or contributions for independent expenditures. So that remains an open issue. Would the court have ruled the same way under the higher standard that would have had to apply if you were challenging independent expenditures by government contractors?
Nick Townsend of Counsel for Arnold & Porter's National Security and Public Policy Practices, writing about this case in an advisory with his colleagues Craig Holman and Paul Howard. And you write in this advisory, Nick, while the FEC can claim victory in Wagner, it's likely not the final word on the contractor contribution ban. What is your sense of what the 2016 election cycle might mean, and what are the kinds of giving, not specific instances, but the types of giving or the types of contractors and how they want to express their views politically that you think might lead to some other kind of challenge or some other kind of proceedings?
Well, I think there's the potential that super PACs will play a very large role in the coming election, and that in the 2016 cycle, some companies will want to make independent expenditures and give money to super PACs. A challenge could arise as to rather the ban on contributions is constitutional as applied to super PAC contributions or applied to independent expenditures. I also think another interesting area that could this decision could impact is at the state level. You have many pay-to-play, so-called pay-to-play laws, which also restrict the ability of government contractors to make contributions. And many of these state pay-to-play laws are currently being challenged. So there is a question as to what Wagner will mean for those state laws. Directly, the D.C. Circuit case wouldn't necessarily have an effect, but it does, especially unanimous opinion, shows that the reasoning underlying all of these bans would still be valid today. And I think that some of those laws are even more intrusive in that they would apply not only to contributions from the corporation itself, but under some of the state laws, contributions by board members or senior executives would be prohibited by virtue of the fact that they're associated with a company that is itself a government contractor, or PACs associated with a company might be subject to the state pay-to-play prohibitions. So I think that's another future area for further development.
It sounds like there's just so much going on here. Is it possible to even say then what is clear cut that one can do or what is clear cut that one is not able to do in this situation? What you can contribute to or what you can't contribute to? Is that very clear?
I think there are still some clear lines, but increasingly some of the campaign finance laws have been rolled back. I mean, there's still a very clear prohibition on corporate contributions that are direct contributions to a candidate. And so if I wanted to, as a company, write a contribution to Senator X, that would not be permissible. So what is largely contemplated here is these independent expenditures where I give to a group that doesn't directly coordinate with Senator X. But, you know, increasingly some of these super PACs are run by senior staffers or senior people who used to work for Senator X not long ago and now find themselves running this super PAC that is running issue ads and doing other things to support and clearly advocate his election. So I think that that is something that has changed the campaign finance landscape and will continue to evolve. Even last week, we saw Senate Majority Leader McConnell introduce a provision in the fiscal 2016 financial service appropriation bill that would do away with some of the longstanding limits on the ability of parties to spend in coordination with candidates. And that would be a significant change as well. And it comes on last year's omnibus spending bill, tripled the contribution limits for certain contributions to parties so that you can now give hundreds of thousands of dollars for the convention building and recount funds of the DNC or RNC. So these things have all radically changed what was the traditional landscape in some ways.